Hello again, class. This is Reverend Calhoun teaching on the subject of the spirit of honor. We're going to begin today class number 4, and we're going to be talking more in line with God's divine order at, as it relates to honor. Amen. I want you to listen attentively. As I stated, you should have gotten your books or your PDFs online so you can follow along with me. Amen. Glory to God. And just kind of let you know, after this class session, we're going to take a side journey into another book that I've been instructed to minister from. And it's going to be talking about pride, and how pride is the root of all evil and dishonor. But anyway, we're going to continue now on the subject of God's divine order as it relates to honor. Let's start off with a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you for what you're doing by your Spirit. I thank you for each and every student, each person, Lord God, that they're receiving everything from Ever-Increasing Word Training Center that they need. Praise God. And I thank you, Lord God, that they're going to stay on board and finish their course and graduate from this school, Lord God, and begin to be used by God mightily in their prospective areas of ministry. In Jesus' name, we thank you for our apostle, who is the president and founder of the Ever-Increasing Word Training Center and Word of Life Christian Center, Lord God. And we thank you that you're going to continue to bless him, Lord God, as an apostolic leader in our lives. And Father, as always, I trust and pray that the Holy Spirit will show up in my class and empower me, because if he doesn't, I'll fall flat on my face. I lean completely and totally upon the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, we're going to be talking more about divine order and God's government as it relates to the spirit of honor. Starting again with Romans 13:1. Let every soul be subject or submitted unto the higher powers or authorities, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God, or you can say are ordered by God. Amen. God establishes all authority. Let's see what the NIV says. It says, let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. The authorities that exist are appointed by God. I like the word that it says, appointed by God. Power and authority are used interchangeably in a lot of instances, but the two are not the same. You can have authority and have no real power to back that authority. And also, you can have power, but no real authority to execute that power. But when you have power plus authority, it equals dominion, where you can dominate. Amen. And you can rule and reign. Praise God. The Amplified Bible to Romans 13:1 says, let every person be loyally subject to the governing civil and spiritual authorities, for there is no authority except from God. By his permission, his sanction, and those that exist do so by God's appointment. So here again, all authority and all power has been appointed and instituted by God. When true authority is present, order will be in place, because power is present to enforce that authority. In God's kingdom, there will be divine order. The Message Bible talks about God's order in the same way. So let's see what the Message Bible says about Romans 13:1. It says, be a good citizen. All governments are under God. All governments are under God. Insofar as there is peace and order, it's God's order or God's divine order. So live responsibly as a citizen. If you are irresponsible to the state, then you are irresponsible with God, and God will hold you responsible. Duly instituted authorities are only a threat if you are trying to get away with something. Decent citizens should have nothing to fear, because you're following and walking in divine order. The government of God is upon his shoulders. And we read from Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6 last week, so I'm not going to go back there. But in Matthew's 28:18, it says, all power given unto me, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So he is absolute authority. Like I said, I'm not going to go into Isaiah. I have it here, but we read it last week, where, you know, unto us a child is born and a son is given, and how the government is going to be on his shoulders, you know, and on the throne of David. You know, he came to establish it and to order it. Amen. All right. I've seen a tremendous zeal in our apostle in the last possibly 4 to 5 years or so to reestablish or to bring back God's government properly. The fivefold ministry gifts, the office of the apostle, the prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, because that's so vital. Each one of these gifts hinge upon the other, and by doing so, God's order is established, because God's government is established. And when God's government is established, God's power can flow freely. And when God's power can flow freely, it flows down to every part of the body of Christ, just like the oil that ran down Aaron's beard, to every part of his body. And so everybody receives what they need, because that portal is open. There's a heaven to earth connection there, and the blessings of God begin to rain down. Not to say that when the government is not set up properly, God can't reach and bless people, but it's in trickles. It's not flowing properly, because there's kinks. There's, if you ever had a hose and you're trying to water out one end, and there's a kink in the hose, you won't get the full pressure. But when you go and you undo that kink, and that water can flow freely down the hose, when it gets to the nozzle, it comes out with more force. And that's what we want. We want God's power to come out of the portals of heaven in full force. Amen. Where there is order in government, there will be honor. Where there is honor in government, there will be honor. This is divine authority and divine order functioning to the uttermost. And I stated this before, but I want to state it again, because you'll probably see it again. Order is the structure of honor. Order is the structure of honor. When the structure of a spiritual house is set up right, it will bring and produce honor. Amen. We are required to honor the ranks, the levels, and the positions that has been set up in God's government by divine order of his protocol. Read that again. We are required to honor, by God, the ranks, people who have rank, the levels, and the positions that God has set up in God's government by divine order of his protocol. If you get out of order or out of divine order, if you get the proper order, divine order established in government, the structure of order will produce honor in individuals' lives. The offices in God's government are found in Ephesians 4 and 11. I'm gonna read that right quick. It says, "And he ascended, and he that descended is the same also that ascended far above the heavens, that he might fulfill all things." Okay, verse 11 says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting or the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." Just like the frame of a house is the very structure or its strength, you know, when you frame a house, you want to make sure you frame it right. Every corner at 90 degrees, and everything structurally sound. That's going to be the strength of a house. When you have true honor, the structure of that organization will be solid. Everything will be in divine order and follow proper protocol. So when you have true honor, the structure of an organization or a spiritual house or anything will be solid, because everything will be in divine order and follow proper protocol. Let me give you a definition of protocol. Protocol, the official procedure or system of rules governing affairs of state or diplomatic occasions are rules of order. The way a ceremony or governmental rules of engagement are followed. And there's something called Robert's Rules of Order. But when you follow protocol, you follow a system of rules and regulations that is set up by government so that everything can flow properly. And you don't want to, what I call, usurp authority. You don't want to step out of your place. You want to stay in divine order, in divine protocol, and flow, because it's going to be well with you. Amen. I'll just leave it at that. God is the most purposeful being in the universe. He is a God of complete and absolute order. Nothing he does is by chance. There is a reason for everything that he created under the sun. Nothing he does is out of chance, chaos, or disorder. He established the end from the beginning. Nothing he does is out by chance or happened by accident. And God's plan since the fall of Adam was to restore order, or divine order, back to earth, where sin caused everything to go out of order and into chaos, and spiral out into chaos. Satan rebelled against the order of God. You can find that in Luke 14 and 12. We're not going to go there. But Satan rebelled against the order of God's government and caused the earth to fall into chaos. He says, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will be like the Most High. But we know that didn't happen. In these last days, God is restoring back to his original plan before the Lord returned. Okay, in these last days, God is restoring back to his original plan before the Lord returns. His government will be restored back to order, which is the structure of honor. Amen. So God is restoring back in these last days order to his church. Amen. All right. Just like God has set up ordinances, civil laws, and order, he also set up spiritual laws and order. And when one gets out of order spiritually, or spiritual dishonor, there is always spiritual consequences that will result. Remember, I said that the curse causeless shall not come. There's always a reason why circumstances and bad occurrences happen because of somebody getting out of divine order. Amen. In the military, if you don't follow orders, people die. When you're in, a theater of conflict, it's so very important to follow orders. My dad was a Marine and a staff sergeant in the Marine Corps, and he trained men for combat. And one of his pet peeves was follow instructions. Do what you're told, stay in your position and follow your upline's commands. And that's so very important. People die spiritually and they'll live forever in damnation when divine orders aren't followed. Apostle has been pushing people to witness and to share Christ. And eternity, people's lives are in the balance. But that's orders. That's a protocol that has to be followed from divine headquarters. Amen. You must understand power structures, authorities that God has set in place. Just like disobedience to civil laws will result in swift action against you, even more so when you violate the spiritual laws of honor, swift actions of judgment will come up against you. Okay, I'm going to give you some examples of some people in the Bible who didn't follow protocol or spiritual orders, or didn't understand God's government properly. When God calls a person to be a spiritual leader, like Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, he's God's man. He's God's mouthpiece. He's got authority in the land. And it's not in your best interest, ask Korah and his company, to go against Moses, who's God's authority in the land. Well, Korah, he decides that that Moses ain't doing it right, and he gets a handful of people on his side thinking that he's right. And then so God instructs Moses to tell all of those who gonna go with Korah, step on this side, and all those that's following me with God's instruction, you get behind me. And when everybody's separated, the Lord opened up the ground and swallowed up Korah and all his people, all his followers. So dishonor and disobedience to God's authority brought swift judgment to those people. There wasn't a time, you know, one thing about the law in the Old Testament, a lot of times you didn't have a chance to repent. You know, you just, if you went the wrong way, you know, you suffered the consequences. Another example in the Bible is found in Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, with Miriam and Aaron. I'm going to read it. It says, "And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, had not the Lord indeed spoken only to Moses, but had he not also spoken to us? And the Lord heard it." And what happened after that was swift judgment. The Lord called Miriam and Aaron on the carpet and says, "Miriam and Aaron, you come here." And he says, "Who are you to speak against my servant Moses?" You know, he says, "To Moses I speak mouth to mouth." You know, he's my man, my mouthpiece. You know, you don't go against my divine order and my divine authority. And so what happens, it says, I'm going to say here, Miriam was out of order by speaking against Moses for marrying the Ethiopian woman. She showed dishonor towards Moses. Again, Miriam was out of order by speaking against Moses for him marrying the Ethiopian woman. She showed dishonor towards Moses, and that dishonor led into her becoming a leper. They had to stay there until Miriam had to stay a leper for several, I can't remember how many weeks it was, but before they could move forward. Tudor Bismarck says in his book, it says, even secular rulers placed in the world, police forces, political forces, have been placed there by God to execute on God's behalf the forces of God's kingdom so that the demonic spirits do not advance. If people don't understand these power forces or power structures that are in place, they will reap to themselves, the scripture says, damnation or judgment. And that's so very important. You know, God is a God of order. And you see, honor is the structure of honor. You know, so when you have honor, order will be in place because that's the way God set it up. Amen. All right. Let me move on. I'm going to kind of break down Romans 13, starting, I guess, around verse 7. It says, give tribute to whom tribute is due. Tribute means that we have to honor the laws of the land. Tribute means taxes, duty, and certain levels of structure within civil government. Paul says we have to honor the government, honor the laws of the land. And that's so very important. When you're in certain countries, they have certain governmental rules and they have to be followed. When we're in Barbados, when Apostle ministered there, you drove on the left side of the road. The steering wheel was on the left side of the road. And, you know, that was just the rules. We had to kind of figure out, my wife, she was being left-handed. She was able to kind of more naturally drive, so she did all the driving. You know, that's rules, that's regulations. You know, their currency is different. You know, I've read stories, and I might have shared this in the first two classes, but there was a missionary, and I'm not going to go into the detail because it's, you know, it was personal for them. That country had certain rules and regulations concerning married couples and married couples' relationships, and I'll leave it at that. And they were in their tent as husband and wife, and all of a sudden they, because of what they were doing, it was against the the country's protocol, the country's structure, and giving tribute to whom tribute is due, to the laws of that land, where they were found and dragged out of their tent and murdered because they violated the tribute or the structure of that country. And they were doing a good work, but they didn't research the dynamics of that country and found out what was taboo and what wasn't. And like I said, I'm not going into detail, but you can imagine. It cost them their lives, you know. So when you do ministry, you want to first go into a country and find out what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. You know, when you go to England, I know the Queen, she's deceased now, but when you go into a country like England, you don't just reach out and shake royalty's hands. There's a protocol and there's a procedure that has to be followed. If they stretch out their hand, you can stretch out yours. But don't you stretch out yours to touch them, because they're considered royalty, you know. And there's I don't know them all, but I know there are some, and you don't want to cross-vent their rules and their regulations. Many times when an individual or ministries visit other countries, even though they might be minorly gifted of the Lord, if they do not honor the laws of that country, their ministry will be dramatically or strongly inhibited, and their anointing levels will go down because of their dishonor to the rules and the regulation of that country. All right, let's go on to the next one. Giving custom to whom custom is due. It says, this means honor the people of the land, their customs. Anytime you go into any place in the world, you can have tremendous anointing. This is what author Tudor Bismarck says. If you dishonor the people and their customs, providing their customs do not violate the spiritual requirements for life, the anointing levels go all the way down because of your dishonor and violating their customs. Amen. All right, let's go on to number three. Giving fear to whom fear is due. In other words, fear means you have to honor the ranks and the dignitaries of that land. It is very dangerous to go into different countries and different regions if you don't know who has rank or who's put in positions of authority, because you can violate the ranks that have been set up by God in a place. You know, sometimes when you are doing prophetic ministry, and this is what Tudor Bismarck is saying, if you're ministering in another country and you're declaring declarations, we say things like, while we're under the anointing, this is the church that God has chosen for revival, this church that he's ministering at, or you're ministering at. Says, even though that's well-intended, sometimes that's irresponsible, especially if you are not cognizant of other churches and the ranks in the region. So if you make one church solely for revival and a move of God, chances are you are not given fear or reverence or respect to whom fear is due. what I mean by that is there may be some minister, some apostle who has rank in that region, and so you're throwing him out and you're disregarding his spiritual authority. Amen. Fear means reverence, a godly fear or respect, a godly respect and reverence. It's always important to research an area before you go there. When you prophesy, the Bible says that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. We've seen many times prophetic gifts come into a region and speak a word in that specific church without researching the dynamics of the fathers, or the apostles and prophets in that region, and the generational word in the region, and it will upset the equilibrium of what's happening in that region. Amen. So you always want to give honor, fear to whom fear is due. And one of the things, I'm going to move on. Number four says, give honor to whom honor is due. In other words, you have to honor the anointing that's in the land. it is important that we honor the anointing in the land. I would encourage you, this is Tudor Bismarck speaking out of his book, that if you are ministering in a particular region or a particular country as a local pastor or apostolic gift, there could be, he says, I encourage you in a particular region as a local pastor or apostolic gift, there could be apostolic gifts in that city that are greater in rank than you are. He says, every now and then, it wouldn't hurt just to take an offering to that spiritual leader of that country. So you don't necessarily have to see him, just drop off an offering and sow into him to honor that gift, which is spiritual protocol. When you show that kind of honor, there's automatic spiritual reciprocation. So it says, when you go into an area, find out who is the head apostle or the one who has rank in that area. Go to his ministry and sow a seed into him and let him know, look, I'm going to be in the area. I'm holding a revival, 5 miles down the street. You know, I'm first asking for permission since I know this is your territory, and I submit to you. That's so very important. I mean, even when I am given an assignment to go to a funeral for a church member, I generally find out who has rank, who's the presiding minister. I let them know that I'm representing Word of Life Christian Center, and I'm here on behalf of, my church members and the brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. I just want to let you know that I'm here. And I did that. The first time I did that, the minister said, well, we're about to walk into the service. I want you to walk in the processional and come on the stage with me. And I said, yes, sir. So I walked on the side of him. And when he stepped on the stage, I just stayed at the first step. Then he beckoned me. I wasn't coming on the stage unless he beckoned me to come. Because when he saw how I stopped, he said, no, come on up. You can come on up. And then he showed me, said, you can sit down right there. I'll stand up right there. I stood up right there. And then as the processional was and all the family members were seated, and he walked over to me. He says, I want you to do the opening prayer, sir, if you don't mind. I said, yes, sir, I got it. But if I didn't, follow spiritual protocol, none of that would have happened. So I was able to speak into the family, speak into the congregation, and give them words of comfort in my prayer that really set the stage for the rest of the meeting, the rest of the ceremony. But that's giving honor to whom honor is due. Amen. All right. One of the things I want to add, and I'm going to continue to say this, and you're going to hear it over and over, the greatest seed that you can sow is an honor seed. There's no greater seed than you can sow than an honor seed. It is required by God that we honor and respect every life source. We talked about life sources last week. Someone that's an originator of life, that's a giver of life, spiritual or physical life. But we are to honor every life source so that when he says give honor to whom honor is due, he's especially means here that you honor a life source. Listen up. Anytime people dishonor a life source, it unleashes demonic attack, satanic generational curses, poverty, and all kinds of barrenness and famine. And that's coming straight out of Bishop Tudor Bismarck's book. Okay, he says all life, listen up, all life comes from God. And when we blatantly dishonor a life source, no matter what life source it is, it violates the principle of God's sovereign existence. We are to honor every life source. I'm going to read it again. All life comes from God. And when we blatantly means that you do it intentionally and you have no remorse about it. But when you blatantly dishonor a life source, like I said, a giver of life, an originator of life, somebody who nourishes, life. That could be a mother, it could be a father, a grandmother, an elderly person, a pastor, a prophetic leader, your spiritual father, an apostolic, apostolic prophetic life source. It says, no matter what life source it is, it violates the principle of God's sovereign existence. In other words, God's sovereign existence, sovereign means someone who has absolute authority. And his authority order is set up. And when you dishonor the ranks the levels, the positions, the people that God has set over you from a spiritual and even a physical perspective. You violate the principle of God's sovereign existence, and there's consequences that exist. You know, there's consequences. You don't want to do that. You don't want these consequences, because I said it is required by God that we honor and respect every life source. So when you say give honor to whom honor is due, he is specifically meaning here that you have to honor a life source. And then that's paramount. If a country or a government does not honor the spiritual leaders in that country cannot be blessed. Read that again. If a country or government does not honor the spiritual leaders in that country cannot be blessed. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to try to say it as reverently and respectfully as I can, but I can remember years ago, Apostle was ministering in New Orleans with another man of God. And the ministers in that city, because of their disrespect and dishonor for Apostle and the Apostolic, did not encourage their people to attend the meetings. So it wasn't well attended. And you because of the size of the city, there should have been way more people. In the auditorium that we were in, there was well enough space for more people to attend. But when he left that city, the Lord instructed him to tell his driver to stop before he got out of the city. He took his feet out of the car and he shook the dust off of his feet. And you don't want that to happen. I'm not going to go into what happened afterward, you know, but it's not going to be well with you. You don't want spiritual leaders to shake the dust off of their feet because of your dishonor and your disrespect, okay? But the minute they or the people change their position and begin to recognize spiritual leaders, the blessing returns to their country and their region. When you recognize spiritual leadership and honor those leaders as such, then you allow them to say certain prayers and speak into the government and speak into your lives, then the blessing of God can flow freely because of honor. You know, that's so very important. And I'm seeing that change. I mean, in the last 5, 6, 7 years, I've seen more reverence, more respect, more honor shown towards the apostolic. And I'm seeing more blessing, more peace, more joy, more victory in people's lives, more healings, more manifestations of the Spirit, more miracles, signs and wonders and demonstrations of the Spirit take place because of honor, because of honor, because of honor and respecting God's apostolic leader, God's apostolic source. Honor is so very important. You know, I can't understate it and underestimate it. You know, true honor, it's the difference between life and death. It's the difference between poverty and prosperity. It's the difference between you walking in health and healing and deliverance as opposed to sickness, disease, and despair. You know, walking in true honor. Amen. You know, if a country or government does not honor the spiritual leaders in that country cannot be blessed. You know, but when the people change their position and recognize spiritual leaders, and the blessing returns to that country or region. When you recognize spiritual leaders and you honor those leaders, such as you're allowing them now to speak certain prayers and certain words over you, words over your congregation, over the government, then the blessing of the Lord is going to flow because of honor. I'm trying to think of something. There was one episode in Tudor Bismarck's book where one of his sons dishonored him, and nothing was going well in his ministry. He recognized it was because of his soul lack of dishonor. And when he got to Tudor Bismarck, he knew he had to repent. When he got to the front gate, they said he crawled from the front gate and to the door. Tudor Bismarck met him at the door, and he asked for repentance and that he would speak a word that could reverse the curse over his life and over his ministry because of his dishonor. You know, to God, I wish that some people who knew better would do the same in this day and age. When they recognize that they have dishonored their spiritual father and not honored him properly, and that nothing is going well in their lives, when they come back, ask for repentance, sow a seed, respect and honor their spiritual father so that the blessing and the benefits and the miracles and the signs and the wonders can return in their life and in their ministry. That's so, so very important. You do not want to disconnect. I'm saying that with all the gusto I can. Stay connected to whom God has called you to connect to. You know, God, when God assigns you to somebody, it's not for a temporary assignment. Unless God and your spiritual father or your apostolic source or your apostle says it's time for you to start your own ministry. But even so, you still don't disconnect. You just might not be there as much, but you come to all the meetings and you sow into his life, so you're still connected. You know, connection is everything. Connection is everything. I can't understate that, you know, and I wish people would understand that to a greater degree, you know. And when you connect, that don't mean I'm just following, I'm just connecting like a train car connects to another train car. No, I'm sowing into the engine. I'm serving the engine. Like right now, I'm serving my apostle. If he walks in the door, I'm sowing into him. Why? Because I want to make sure I'm connected properly. You know, one of the things I was sharing with a minister the other day, I said, no matter how much God elevates you, no matter how much God blesses you, you always want to stay small in your own eyes. What I mean by that is don't puff yourself up. Don't make yourself above any other person. But I like to say, I know how to get in the way. In other words, get in my position, like right now I'm in my position, and then fall back into my former stay in my former position. And when I'm given an assignment, I'll get in that assignment and then I'll get out of the way. So I know how to get in and get out. And stay in my lane, stay in my position, stay in my level of anointing, because that's what a blessing is. You know, I don't try to imitate, duplicate, replicate anybody else. I'm just plain old Greg Calhoun, Reverend Calhoun, however you want to address me, you know. But I know God blesses me because I know how to submit properly. I know how to honor properly. And I'm learning even more and more about honor, more and more about submitting. You know, there's always more. There's always other levels of honor, other levels of respect that you can go to, because with God, there's always more. Amen. All right. Honor is not just having a bunch of armor bearers, though an armor bearer can serve an apostle or a prophet with honor. Honor is not just having someone wash your car and all that. Listen up. Honor is reciprocation. In terms of the way the anointing and reciprocation, I'm sorry, I'm going to read it again. Honor is reciprocation in terms of the way we receive the anointing and the way the people act on what has been released. One more time. Honor is reciprocation in terms of the way you receive the anointing and the way the people act of what has been released. Amen. The greatest level of dishonor is when apostle and spiritual leaders preach and teach to the people year after year and they don't act on the word that has been preached and sown into their lives. That's one of the greatest levels of dishonor. You know, you can preach and teach, but if you don't act upon what's been taught, you know, you're actually dishonoring your spiritual leader. So you can put money on the altar, you can wash their cars, you can take their clothes to the cleaners. The fact that you don't hear what he is saying and act upon it is the greatest level of dishonor there is. So learn how to walk in honor. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. 10 seconds left. Like I said, next class session, we're going to be going into another book, which talks about pride. It's going to have different terminologies to it, so you have to listen carefully. You don't have to get the book. I'll bring it with me and show it to you, and I'll give you all the information that you need. But it's going to really bring a revelation of how pride and how Satan, who pretty much was the author of pride and the author of dishonor, how he, you know, tried to exalt himself against against God, and how he was dethroned. Amen. See you next week. Amen. God bless.